part 12 of Counterspin Media's Truthathon, Greg Reese has discovered that the more we learn, the less we know. They are deceiving us.
Counterspin Media is unveiling the Great Awakening and resisting the Great Reset in this 12-hour Truthathon titled Conquering Darkness, heralding humanity's triumph over the New World Order.
Rudolf Steiner, whose teachings led to anthroposophical medicine, biodynamic farming, and the Waldorf School, said that the heart is a seven-sided regular form that sits in an imaginary box in the chest. Regular means that all seven sides are identical. Plato described five Platonic solids, and Steiner said there was a sixth one. He also said that the heart is not a pump. This fantastic claim was vindicated by Frank Chester, who figured out how to design a seven-sided regular form. This sixth Platonic solid is now called the chestahedron, and it fits perfectly inside a cube at an angle of 36 degrees off-center to the left, the exact same angle that the heart sits in the chest. When submerged in water and spun, two counter-rotating vortices are formed. Recent scientific studies have shown that these two vortices facilitate the closing of the valves, and when the vortices don't form properly, blood clots will appear. The man who unfolded a thousand hearts, Paco Torrent Guasp, discovered that the heart is a single muscular band folded over itself in a spiraling pattern. The heart itself is a vortex of tissue. It is not a pump, it is a vortex machine. For centuries, it was believed that matter can only exist in three states, such as water, which can exist as liquid, ice, and vapor. Human cells are 70% water, but most of this water is not in any of these three states. We have recently learned that with water, there is a fourth state. This fourth state is called the plasma state, gel phase, exclusion zone, or structured water. And this is what pushes your blood through the entire cardiovascular system. Fueled by infrared energy from its environment, the water in our body becomes an electrical propulsion system. A certain percentage of the water in our body becomes structured water, and the rest remains normal liquid water, or bulk water. The structured water becomes negatively charged and forms the gelatinous outer walls of our capillaries, veins, and arteries. These negatively charged outer walls continuously propel the positively charged bulk water within, carrying the blood with it. This propulsion system will run indefinitely so long as it stays charged, and the way you charge it is with the Earth's electromagnetic field, infrared energy, and positive thought. The work of Dr. Masaru Emoto has scientifically demonstrated that water exposed to loving human words and thoughts is transformed into its natural hexagonal shape. It becomes structured at a molecular level based on our positive intention. This new model shows that it is the blood that pumps the heart, not the other way around. And in order to keep the flow strong and healthy, our best medicine is to connect to the earth, get sunlight, love ourselves, and love one another with physical touch. Victor Schauberger spent his life studying water and found that in the natural world, water will always create vortices along its path. Schauberger learned that this spiral action is what structures the water in nature, and that when subjected to modern man-made water treatment, it loses its structure. Schauberger's work led him to believe that one could generate energy out of a vortex. He described it as an energy implosion, as opposed to an energy explosion. Dr. Tom Cowan, who has written about this in Human Heart, Cosmic Heart, has an interesting theory which may explain the saying, a heart of gold. Another recent discovery is that gold in its purest form does not appear to be gold at all. Under the right conditions, normal physical gold can be transformed into a fine white powder known as monatomic gold. This monatomic gold has been studied by multiple advanced laboratories, and it has very strange properties. It can be made to levitate and disappear. Monatomic gold is superconductive, and many would argue that this is what the alchemists were after. One of the ways of turning metallic gold into monatomic gold is by putting it through a high-speed vortex. When this transformation occurs, there is a flash of light and a 44% loss in weight. Dr. Cowan believes that the trace amounts of gold in our blood is transformed into monatomic gold as it travels through the double vortices in the heart, creating the spark of life. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Rees.
All right, now we are joined by the master himself, Greg Rees. Welcome to Counterspin. We share and play so much of your work. You know, the five-minute mini documentaries just seem to be loved by so many people around the world. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much. Yeah, thank you. And I just want to say hello to your audience. You lived in New Zealand for about a year in 2014 in Christchurch, and love it there. So hello to all the Kiwis and New Zealanders there.
Oh, very nice.
Well, one thing before we get into the meat of this, I want to ask you a question, Greg, because I was with you recently in Moscow. So all those doubters and online trolls who say, I never went to Moscow, I had a green screen and all that sort of stuff. Did we meet in Moscow, and did we have dinner at the White Rabbit in Moscow, yeah, where we took a photo together on the ledge looking over the city?
Yeah, absolutely. And everyone was late. I was told the dinner was at 7. I was there 7 sharp. And I think I waited for like a full 40 minutes before anyone else showed up. It was interesting. Yes. Well, I think it was because you guys were all there for a convention, so the convention must have ran late or something. But yeah, incredible restaurant in downtown Moscow. If you're ever in Moscow, I recommend the White Rabbit. It was just like the name. It was kind of mysterious and very cool. And great rooftop view. Yeah.
Amazing food.
Yeah.
Oh, stop it, you guys. You're just making me even more jealous that I didn't get to come.
I did sort of say to Greg, you know, she
had its own unique elevator. Like, you took the elevator, I think, to like the 5th floor, and then you got off on there was a bunch of elevators, and at the end of the hall, there was just one elevator that said the White Rabbit, and it was all decorated like a fantasy, you know, like a fairy tale.
So it's like you're going down the rabbit hole to Alice in Wonderland.
That's basically what it's called.
But it was yeah, there was only one. It went from the 5th floor, like all the way to the 13th floor, nothing in between. And it was just one, you know, only for the restaurant.
Very cool.
Yeah.
But don't mention 13, Greg, otherwise all of a sudden you're a bloody...
And status. Don't mention the White Rabbit. I mean,
yeah,
like...
I mean, follow the White Rabbit.
Adrenochrome.
Oh, my God.
Just getting straight to it. But, you know, I think this is actually kind of a good subject to talk to you about, Greg, because that video that we just watched, you know, it had two of my favorite researchers in there, Rudolf Steiner and Victor Schauberger. And not many people necessarily understand their work or have even come across them, especially Victor Schauberger, but both of them, you know, had such incredible knowledge and incredible understanding of the reality that we live in, that the internal human body, the mind, the spirit, like the and water, obviously in Victor Schauberger's case. Maybe we could start with discussing the occult, because there is this battle going on within, you know, Christianity and these other thinkers that also understand truth and what I think is a connection to God, but they don't necessarily always talk about it in these religious terms. I mean, where can we start with that? What do you think? You've obviously done so much research. Do you think it is worth looking at some of these people, obviously like Steiner and Schauberger, and how can we discuss it in a way that people don't have to be scared of this knowledge?
Well, I don't think knowledge should be feared at all. I get, you know, we're talking during the break about the pyramid in your logo. I have a triangle in my logo, and I've had several people, you know, ask me if I'm, you know, what's up with they don't even come out and say, they're like, what's up with the triangle? You know, the pyramid and stuff like that. And I'm very tempted sometimes to troll people like that. But I know that's probably not a good idea. But I mean, you know, it's like I've also had Freemasons that I've interviewed tell me that I'm self-initiated, which I think is a fair thing to say. I've been obsessed and interested in occult teachings and religions and anything spiritual, anything metaphysical, anything paranormal, and especially things that are hidden. I've been obsessed with for as long as I can remember. That's what makes me good at my job. And there are people I've met who surprisingly will actually come out and vocalize the belief that they believe that God wants them to remain ignorant of knowledge. And I'm sorry, I don't subscribe to that at all. I think that knowledge is power, but it's not really knowledge that's power. It's hidden knowledge that's power. And that is why we're enslaved, is because we've been kept ignorant. And when you really look at, like, for example, that heart video, the Rudolf Steiner stuff, if you look at Rudolf Steiner's teachings, if you look at Victor Schauberger's teachings, there's nothing evil about it. In fact, it's the exact opposite. It's very empowering. It shows you how miraculous God is. It shows you how we're living in an incredibly divine and magical world. What the occultists have done by hiding it is they've hidden that actual knowledge, and then they've told us a lie that makes us feel weak and inadequate and makes us feel more like animals than divine souls. So, I mean, it's interesting that people who follow my work and like my work, some of those people actually think that, you know, I'm an evil person for looking at the information. But, I mean, that's what they're watching my videos for, is to look at that information. So, I mean, nothing wrong with knowledge.
Well, yeah, and it's like the application of knowledge is the real power, isn't it? Because people can also research and they can kind of ferret this, all this information, and kind of hoard it to themselves. But if they don't do anything with it, then it's basically, you know, it's worthless. So I guess that's what inspired Calvin and I in the end to just get out and do what we're doing, you know, following your footsteps and all these other great people that are putting the information out there, because we were privileged to get information, you know, from others. And now it's kind of our duty, I feel anyway, to pass on that knowledge and share that truth to help other people empower themselves and break free from the mind control, basically, and the mind cage that gets created with, like you say, all these lies and the control that these dark occultists use. I think there's a difference, isn't there, between the dark occultists and these light occultists.
Just like, sorry, I'll interrupt here. Just like there's a difference between what I call genuine Christians and the plastic ones, because the plastic ones to me are all about, you're an imperfect creature, you've got to bow down, submit, and do all these things, and basically you can't affect anything that's going on, it's all pre-written, and you got to wait for someone to come and save your ass. That's the plastic Christian. The genuine Christians, as far as I'm concerned, are the ones who are self-empowered and say, I've been created, I've been given agency in this domain. It's up to me to make my life the best I can. And, you know, if I can't help people, don't inhibit them. Would I be off on my thinking?
No, I agree with you 100%. I'm actually kind of excited that you're bringing this subject up, because it's a touchy subject. In America, it's a touchy subject. And to be honest, it's one of the, I had a handful of reasons why I chose to leave America. And that's one of them. I find in Russia that there are no Christians in Russia who seem to hold this superstitious plastic Christian view. There's mostly just humble people here trying to emulate a life of Christ, which is how I understand Christianity. You know, the Bible is full of knowledge. Absolutely. All ancient scripture is full of knowledge. It's also full of government subversion and occultist subversion. You can't deny that. But one of the truths, I think, is that man was made in the image of God. I believe that is a truth, and it's a bit esoteric in itself. Like, what does that even mean? Because it's I don't claim to understand God, but I think one of the like all scripture, if it's proper scripture, it has to be written allegorical, in my opinion, because what's brilliant about that, and multidimensional, because what's brilliant about that is it lasts forever. Doesn't matter how things change culturally or technologically, it'll still make sense, right? So In my view, that's what's going on here, is we're God's children. I believe everything that exists is of God, but humans, I think, are extra special. Humans seem to be the main characters in this drama. And I would even say that we're not human. We're divine souls. We're a part of God. Our soul is a part of God. And we are in a human body for specific reasons. I would say we're here to learn certain things. One of the things I think we're definitely here to learn is to love one another and respect one another. And definitely, I think, to learn and understand, at least to the best of our ability. We all have different capacities for learning. But, you know, if we don't learn the truth, or at least seek to learn the truth, then we're going to be subject to lies and being controlled. And I even think that the evil dark occultists that are controlling the world, I'm not angry at these people. And a lot of this is because of my own experiences, my own personal experiences that I went through, my own, you know, challenging dark night of the soul and hero's journey and all that. In the end, what I came to realize is I realized that these are teachers. They are like, you know, like a harsh martial artist sensei who hurts and punishes the student until the student learns to defend himself and protect himself, which is a age-old tradition of teaching. And I believe that they're doing God's work. And I'm grateful I'm not in that position, because I'm much happier in the position I'm in than in their position. However, I do think that they are teaching us. I think that just like how a sensei might cause pain and suffering for a student until a student learns to avoid that and defend himself and protect himself, same thing is going for us. We are being tricked and lied to and deceived. And what I notice is they're not like grabbing us and throwing us in cages. They're tempting us. They're laying out traps. They're respecting free will. And the fact that they're respecting free will tells me that they're playing by the rules. And so eventually, if we can figure out to think for ourselves, to be more cautious, and to put our faith in God instead of put our faith in man, then we shouldn't fall for these traps, and we should be able to avoid these temptations. And if we get there, then doesn't that make us a better, stronger soul and a better, stronger human being and a more evolved creature and a more evolved entity? And so if that's the case, then isn't it all for the good of God?
Yeah, definitely. And,
I agree with that 100%. Yeah,
I think bringing up the will is a really important topic, because, like you say, they are trying to... we always have the option of choice. That's why, like, now they'll say, well, yeah, we mandated the vaccine, but mandates doesn't actually mean you have to do it. It's still a choice, you know, and they, like you said, lay all these traps. Now, bringing it back to, for example, with a child or with a baby, it's the will forces that start to develop really young. And Steiner talks a lot about this. And when they are not in their, neofrontal cortex, they're still in their mammalian brain and their reptilian brain, and they're just acting out their will forces, you know, so they go through the terrible two phase and they're just realizing that they're a person and they can have what they want. And this is when the attack on the will starts, because they start to try and encourage parents to control the child and use coercion from a very young age to manipulate the child and trick the child into good behavior, rather than allowing the child to be the individual that they are. That is the schooling system, you know, sit down, especially for boys, you know, sitting down at age 5 and getting pushed to get into academics really early is actually really, really bad for their will and for their love of learning. And this is what Steiner, the big part of what he was talking about is we love learning. We're just natural learners. We want to be connected to God. It's of course we are guides for our children. We are parents. We are loving, and we bring this stuff in. But the schooling system knocks it out of you, and especially the imagination. That's the other thing that these forces are trying to attack. They are reducing the creative genius. There were some studies done, about the amount of young creative geniuses at like 5 or 6 years old, and by the time they're 17, 18, you know, that number is dramatically reduced. So have you got any thoughts around that? Because those are the two that I think are getting attacked, the imagination and the will.
Yeah. No, I mean, I couldn't agree more. I agree. Yeah. The schooling system is definitely there to just train you to repeat back information. There's never been a time, I think, in my schooling I went to public schools, where I remember ever being encouraged to think or to use my imagination, stuff like that. Luckily, I kind of blew off school for the most part. I barely graduated because I didn't show up that often. I went back to college as an adult in my 30s after studying all the stuff that I do reports on today, because I wanted to compare notes. I wanted to see what they're teaching. I was just curious to see what they're teaching in college as compared to, like, so I took astronomy, I took geology, I took economics, chemistry, a bunch of courses that relate to things I've been studying on my own privately. And it was fascinating. It was I only went for 2 years, and like I said, I just went out of curiosity. I didn't go for a degree or anything. And it was well worth it because I was blown away. It was total indoctrination. It was training of the mind. And I mean, this takes me back. Like I was just saying, I'm not really mad at these teachers, at these evil controllers. Like I said, I don't envy them, and I'm very grateful that I'm not living in their shoes, but I'm not really mad at them. I do find myself getting mad at my fellow man who have been, and I try to avoid that because, you know, I'm just frustrated, and I want to see them wake up, but especially through COVID, because these people who are well-educated, PhDs, went to college, they're so smart, because that's one thing that the schooling system does, is it nurtures the ego, and it makes them think that they're better than everyone else. Because why? Because they're able to memorize information and repeat what's on the news. And it's so transparent, like through COVID, these people who think they're so smart, and technically in a lot of ways they are, they're not dummies. They've just been brainwashed to think that to agree with mainstream sources is an intelligent thing. And they're so convinced of that, that you can just, throughout all of COVID, there was just this massive ego. People were getting tattoos of the vaccine and taking selfies of getting the vaccine. Why did they do that? They did that because they're so convinced that they are smarter simply because they're obeying. That's a very, we were just talking about the importance of knowledge so that you can wake up and not fall for traps and temptations. That thing I just described there that we're talking about now, that is the exact opposite. That is the goal that's the goal that these dark teachers have. They want to, their job, I think, is to turn everyone into obedient, not just obedient slaves, but obedient slaves that actually are proud of it because they think that they're smarter than the rest of us. They think that they equate obedience with intelligence, which is
crazy. They just laugh at us, don't they? The dark occultists, because they know about the spiritual connection, and they know that there is far more than, you know, what they teach us at universities and things like that. So they kind of look at those people as the unbegun, or those who want to deny the spiritual connection, you know, as just basically the walking dead. And they're just laughing at them because they can see that they're just so easily manipulated.
I think if people have watched us since our inception, I've always said it from the beginning when you mentioned degrees. I always say that tests are not to see how intelligent you are. These tests are to see how well you've been indoctrinated.
Yeah.
In school, you get taught to have a good memory, to sit there, to shut up, to obey, to soak all the information in, and then regurgitate it in a prescribed manner and keep in with their dictates. And if you make the mark, boom, it's like putting a stamp made in government on your ass, and out into the world you go to spread the propaganda. You're just becoming a conduit of misinformation that the government gets its instructions from overseas and those running the planet to then feed on through the masses. And those of us who won't fall for it are attacked by the very people we're trying to save. How ironic is that?
Yeah. No, you're right. It's almost like on the resume, the PhD and the MD and all these different master's degrees, that's basically, like you said, that's a way for someone to look and be like, okay, this person will shut up and listen to me and do what I tell them to do. That's how it's been set up. You know, it's interesting too, like what you were saying about these people understand the spiritual truths. They absolutely do. Mark Passio, I'm a big fan of Mark Passio's work. He's an American.
I've listened to all his work like twice.
Yeah, he's great.
He's amazing.
He's great. And one of the things that he says quite a bit is that these people, they definitely understand these spiritual truths. And that's one of the reasons that they do what they do with free will is because they are trying to avoid the spiritual karma of the actions that they are trying to bring about. And so what they're doing is they're using these ignorant masses, slaves, to do the work for them by tricking them into doing it themselves, because then they believe, and I don't know if I agree with this, but I agree with what Mark Passio is saying, but I still think that if you manipulate people to do your bidding, there's still going to be a bit of spiritual karma that falls on you. But what he's suggesting is that they don't, and they think that they're going to be clear of all this karma because they have their minions doing it for them. So it's very interesting.
Yeah, they think they can escape the laws of creation, essentially. I don't think in the long run they will, because of everything's frequency. And if we look at, you know, Christ as the highest frequency, if love is the highest frequency, my understanding is that they actually can't resonate with that, and they actually feel so uncomfortable around that level of resonance that they are feeding off the anger, the fear. Constantly creating these low-level vibrations.
It's like a food source.
Yeah, and the wars and the constant, you know, and they've created the false god of money, the Mon Eye, and all of that. So that's their food source.
Well, I think you're right, and that's why I don't do enough videos on the subject. I'm starting to. I started to do a series behind my paywall on Substack. And I almost feel bad that I'm not doing it publicly. The reason I'm not doing it publicly, I guess, is because I don't know why. Maybe a lot of people think it's ridiculous, but that shouldn't stop me. But what I'm getting at is I don't think that these people at the top of this control system are human at all. I think that they
You did right. You are dead right.
Yeah, I'll like you're you saying how they're unable to tune into that Christ consciousness. I think you're right. And I think they're like literally unable to, like, because their DNA or whatever species they are. I mean, a lot of people might just blow it off and say they're demons. And the reason I have a problem with that is because I think that I don't think anything that exists outside of God. So I think that they are children of God too. I think the Bible even describes these creatures and talks about a creature that's jealous. I think they're the angels. The angels are jealous of humans, because humans are the main characters in this theater that we're in, and this whole show seems to be about humans evolving and growing. And some of these angels, I guess not all of them, but some of them are jealous and bitter about it. And yeah, they find other sources of energy than love, and it seems to be fear. Like the Gnostic texts talk about the archons feeding off of us for fear. And then I just had this incredible interview with Todd Callender. I don't know if you're familiar with Todd Callender's work. It was the first time I talked to him. He's a military attorney, and he's done I've done some reports on his stuff. But I just talked to him the other day about the stuff he's talking about, and it's absolutely fascinating, and I think he's absolutely right. And his information is telling him, and this is information I'm sure you guys are aware of too, like there's Bill Gates had a patent back in 2020 about ascending and receiving thing. A lot of people called it the mark of the beast, but right. I think what they're missing is what it is, according to Todd Callender's work, is they've literally taken this technology, which is more electromagnetic based, which goes back to the work of Rudolf Steiner and many others. The body, we are electromagnetic beings, and it's turned us into, yes, receivers, but more than that, he's arguing, we are batteries. It's used this technology, putting it inside of our bodies, that is literally taking energy from our vital life force, that mysterious spark of life. And then these cell towers that are everywhere are acting as, I'm not sure, they're not transmitters, but they're absorbing the energy. They're actually taking the energy from us. And that patent that I mentioned, that Bill Gates, I think it's like 020202. I'm sure you guys remember it had the drawings of the people and the signals going off. It even said
66666.
Yeah, yeah. It even said that people could be used to create energy to mine cryptocurrency, stuff like that.
Yeah. So we played that video as well of yours today. Yep. So I didn't catch the name of the guy. Maria right. Okay. Excellent.
Todd Callender about this. I think that's what I think her interview with him on the subject is what got me to call him and reach out to him. But I got to talk to him more because his information is incredible, and he also agrees that these are non-humans. And they've been for millennia, they've been feeding off of us as a food source. So it makes sense that now that the technology is more advanced, they're just creating us, turning us into batteries.
And this is where I guess, like you mentioned that, you know, not all secret societies are bad, and I think this is worth talking about as well, that there has been a massive war hidden behind the scenes of humanity between, you know, the good occultists, if you want to call them that, and the dark occultists, whatever
we
you want to call them.
We certainly have been.
And so this war is now exploding out into the public almost, but the knowledge, from my research and understanding, is that the Dark Ones obviously wanted to hide it so that they could try and manipulate and gain power for themselves and wealth and that kind of thing. And then the Light Ones had to kind of, at different times throughout history, they had to hide it, because if they talked about, like now, conspiracy theorists, if we talk about the truth, if we talk about the light and we challenge these Dark Ones, then, you know, we get taken out. We lose our income. We lose our, you know, homes, our families. Yeah. They take so much away from us. So most people will just be quiet and beaver away behind the scenes. So do you want to elaborate on a bit more about that war that's been going on?
Well, that's a very interesting subject, especially for me lately, is you know, it's like one of the things I've been saying a lot, and it's absolutely true, is the more I learn, the more I research, the less I know. And I can explain that very down to earth and logically. It's because most of what I research and what I learn is lies. You can say we're seeking truth, but how much truth are we actually finding in our research? I know personally in my research, all I'm finding are lies. I'm like, oh, this is a lie, this is a lie, and this is a lie. You know, I'm not really finding any answers. I'm just finding lies after lies after lies. And everything's a lie. I definitely don't believe that all secret societies are evil. I understand why people could think that, because a lot of us don't like being lied to. And so when you find out that there are people that are holding secrets and keeping lies, I don't like that. I mean, I actually, when I was younger, I considered joining the Freemasons just because I have a passion, like I said earlier, for hidden knowledge. And the only reason that kept me from doing it is because I have trust issues, and I'm not ever going to swear an oath to people. You know, I have faith in God, and that's it. And I'm good with that. I might love people, but, you know, I'm not going to be dragged down a hole with someone else. So, but yeah, I definitely think that there is a war behind the scenes. I think that is undeniable at this point. I think that politics and everything that we're being shown is theater. I don't think any of it matters. Elections certainly don't matter. A lot of people in America, I think, alternative media that are pushing for elections, I think that a lot of them have to. I think if you don't push the voting system, then you are going to lose your job, you know, if you're mainstream, at least if you're a highly paid person, because that's the game. And that is the main game, is just to keep people focused on that theater. Now, a good question I've been having lately is maybe there is a good reason for all of this. Maybe we're not supposed to know this stuff behind the scenes. Maybe, like I was saying, I definitely do think that humans are, this whole place we're in is for humans. Now, the cynic in me, and I am very cynical. Like I said, I have trust issues. The cynic in me often believes that we are livestock for these non-humans, and that they are harvesting things from us. Maybe just energy. Maybe it is. And even the Bible says this, that God gave. You know, I'm not a Bible expert by any means, but I did go to Catholic school, so I did remember learning some of it. But I believe it says something about how God gave the devil dominion over, like you can have Earth, it's yours, you know. And that's what brings me back to the idea that these are teachers and we're here to learn. So the positive, optimistic person in me says we're not livestock, and this is all a classroom, and it's a harsh school. It's a school of hard knocks, and we're learning important lessons. And so if that's the case, then maybe both sides of the secret societies know this, and their job is to put on the show and provide the classroom situation for us. And maybe that it's important for us not to know what's going on behind the scenes. Just like, you know, in my Marine Corps training and in certain areas of training I've gone through, that is also important to just kind of keep you focused on the lesson and not worried about the management behind the scenes and stuff like that. I don't know. But the cynic in me says otherwise. The cynic in me says, I mean, that's one of the reasons I got involved in this work, is because I believed that cracking the code and pulling back the curtain is really important. But I mean, honestly, after 6 years of the work, I'm beginning, and I said I don't think I've ever found any truth. I've just found lies. I'm starting to I'm in a bit of a crossroads personally, and I'm starting to think that maybe the most important truth is internal truth. The most important truth is learning about me, because I only have power over me. I can't change anyone's mind. I can make videos that I think are good for people that have already start to open their mind and are already questioning things, and they have questions and they want stuff. Videos are good for them, but I don't think for a second that I'm changing anyone's mind. Only a person can change their own mind. Only a person can choose to open their mind and look at things and change their perspective and stuff like that. So really, we only have power over ourselves. And so I'm kind of at a point now where I'm starting to realize that that's the most important thing that I think any of us can do, is really start looking at ourselves, you know, if you haven't already confronted the darkness inside of you, I think that's extremely important. Because if we do want to change the world and make the world into a better place, which I think most of us do that are watching the show right now, then the most effective way that we can do that is by working on changing ourselves. That sounds very cliche, you know, but be the change that you want to be. But that's absolutely true, because it's really all we can do. And if we change our own bubble of existence, our own reality, then if we can change our own vibration to generate love, that Christ energy that that's why I consider myself a Christian, because I do love the example of Christ, and I do try every day to be closer in that direction, which I don't think is achievable to perfection, but it's a great goal to set your sights on. If we all start moving in that direction and we all start generating that love and respect around us, then that would transform the world. But yeah, to go back to the thing, the secret societies, I have no idea. What I do know is that this whole thing is about these secret societies and these non-humans. I would even argue that the secret societies are management.
Yes.
They're the management for these non-humans. That's all they are. That is their main objective. Their main job is, and the cynic in me would call them Judas ghosts. The cynic in me would say that they're the Judas ghosts. They're the humans that have been seduced by bribes and power by these non-humans to sell out the rest of their species and take oaths to them and stuff like that. But that's what's going on. It's a war. It's a war between the white hats and the black hats. I don't believe these white hats are looking out for me and you guys. They're two sides of these secret societies, and they are, I would even say there's probably two sides to these non-humans. Just like there's good people and there's evil people, there's these non-humans, I think, are made up. You can call them angels and demons. I think that's the same thing. That's just different language from a different time to describe these non-humans, where some of them had good intentions and some of them have bad intentions. Good and evil seems to be
right. Yep, no, you did right. We can go back to even the Hopi Indians, there was a guy by the name of Robert Morningsky who was given a history of the Hopi Indians, and they were talking about the god person referred to as God or whatever. He was commander of the sector of whatever it is, and he had two sons, Enki and Enlil. And one was there designed, sort of created humanity to be miners and all that sort of stuff, and basically a slave race. The other one said, you can't do that. You know, you've got to give them a choice. You can't just create a biological separate being and basically try to control it. It's inhumane type thing. So he messed with the DNA and gave intelligence and allowed self-awareness. And that's what sparked off the big fight between them. So, of course, those brothers split, and since then they've been tampering with DNA. And if you have a look throughout human history, you will find humanity's been reset more than once, and we're about to go to it again, but into a digital age. I've been telling people this for ages. Just like I said, I'll tell you about secret societies, because I used to be a Freemason, and I resigned 31st of August 2021, because after talking to the Grand Lodge in Wellington, I said, and this is through all the crap that was going on, I said, look, you occupy positions of power, you occupy basically the gates to allow people to go in or out. You're keeping them in. Why are you staying silent and letting this go on? And they always come with this bullshit about, oh, you know, we can't interfere and all that. I said, yes, you damn well can interfere, because it's the right thing to do. And if you're not going to do it, I can't be part of you. I'll go out and I'll do it myself. And if you're in the way, I'll fucking run you over. You know what I mean? And that's how we sort of ended our relationship. So I've been on that side.
And can I just say something there about you? Because you already knew about, all these stories about Freemasonry and because they seem to be one of the big targets of especially in the truth and freedom community, the conspiracy theories. They say that the Freemasons are running everything. But
they're not.
The Freemasons are... They're such a front organization. It's like they're a fall guy for all these other organizations. And of course, some of the lodges, no doubt, I presume from what I've read on the internet and heard, that a lot of some of them have been taken over by the satanic kind of rituals and the adrenochrome types of people.
Yes, but I've heard of these types, but
trying to blanket every single Freemason as being part of this type of occult,
it's complete rubbish. And the problem I have with the people in the freedom movement, they're like we've said, they're so far down the rabbit hole, we ain't got a rope long enough to pull them back up. They've completely gone. The reason secret societies exist, and I'll tell everyone why secret societies exist, because there's certain knowledge that in the wrong hands will destroy shit and it'll wreck people's lives. Yes. So you've got some who keep it over here, safekeeping, just like Polynesian tribes. They pick one person in the family line that they impart all the knowledge too. That, by definition, is a secret societal act. But you don't hear anyone complaining about them. The same thing is happening with Freemasons. Then you've got the other side who are trying to come in and take that knowledge and use it. And they themselves have acquired knowledge that's bad. So these ones and these ones are constantly at loggerheads, fighting for the right for humanity to be free to explore it oneself. You have to understand your own existence. You have to understand that you are the center of the universe. You, each individual ones, are basically bioresonant frequencies operating in part with others. And the secret of life is coexistence. Forget everything else. The secret of life is coexistence. Yes. You cannot operate or exist without another resonant frequency giving you form. That's how it works. These are the teachings that have been denied to you. These are the teachings I've been trying to tell people when I give them certain stories and I tell them about certain experiences. But some of them as thick as pig shit, which actually isn't thing.
Well, that saying you shouldn't cast pearl before swine. Correct. Like it took me a long time.
That's what it's about.
To realize that. I mean, what's your experience like, Greg? I mean, it sounds like you're saying that, after 6 years, you're kind of questioning what you're even doing it for. I mean, we question that all the time. Like how can we keep doing this if people don't want the information? You can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink.
You can drown it though.
Well, I think what I'm learning is just to change my direction of the information I'm putting out. And, for example, like you played that heart video. That's one of the reasons I made that, was because of this, new direction I'm just feeling is just to forget about the paranoid, superstitious people and just focus on the people that are really starting to see the thing. This is the oldest story, Enki and Elil. That actually goes back also to Sumer, which is literally the oldest written story in history. This is absolutely the oldest story. If you want to get into secret societies, I think it's pretty clear that the Jesuits are sitting at the top of the hierarchical pyramid of secret societies. All secret societies stem from the Jesuits. Jesuits seem to be a modern day version of the Templars. The Freemasons are probably the most innocuous. I don't know if that's the right word, but there's tons of Freemasons. I would say 90% of them are just decent people that want to get to know their neighbors in a private setting to where they can do good things in their community. That's clearly what most of them are. But you can also say that it's also set up to sort of filter out a certain type of person. For example, the fact that one of the rituals involves, saying that if I ever reveal any of these secrets, then, I'm a dead man or whatever like that.
Take your obligations. There's a new way you'll get killed if you reveal the secrets.
Yes.
But so most of the secrets are all about handshakes and passwords. Yes. And the reason for this is in the old days, they used to have infiltrators come in to try and steal knowledge. So basically they had to give a password to get into the temple. And if they got it wrong, because their dialect wouldn't allow them to formulate that sound or that frequency, they would then smite them down. That's how that works. And the handshake is all about telling the person when you're traveling around what level you are in your knowledge so they can put you in an area most suited for you.
And this isn't everything. Like I'm a big student of yoga, spiritual and many different spiritual traditions on my own. And it's that what you were saying as far as the reason for the secrets, that goes across the board. Like in Tantra, they there are levels of initiation. And the reason that they're secret, the highest levels are secret, is because they believe that if you're not a disciplined person and you're given these higher secrets, then it could destroy your life, you know, because these are very powerful things. And so you have to work your way up and prove that you are not just disciplined, but well-intentioned, because they don't want to put these, that is the actual reason, undeniably, for the secrecy, is they don't want to put these powerful truths in the hands of black occultists. But we are at a point now where that's too late already, you know, that's everyone, it's all out in the open, it's all public knowledge right now. So I think this is all the more reason for everyone to open their minds up to this knowledge, because we need good-hearted people to understand stuff. And I will say this, what you're talking about made me think of this, that we're all one. There's a great book I just read called The Raw Material, The Law of One. It's channeled material, which I normally avoid and roll my eyes at, but it was done very scientifically. I'm very impressed with the scientific measures they took to do this. It took them 20 years to find the specific channel that they had, and it was all very well documented. And the information speaks for itself. The information is not unique. It's stuff we've heard in many different spiritual traditions. It's just very interesting in this book because it's just so specific and they answer questions. But one of the things that they're saying, or the main thing they're saying, is that we are here to learn. And there are two factions of non-humans here, and both factions are teaching the same lesson. They're teaching it from two different points of view. The lesson is that we are all one. That's the most important lesson that we're here to learn, is that we are all one. And a lot of people, they don't know what that means. I think the best way I can describe it is just like all the cells in your body, you got billions of cells in your body, and they're all part of one body. And so if those cells start killing each other, then it's defeatist. So you want to harmonize with one another, because we are all one. These two factions, according to this book, one is on the path of service to others, and the other is on the path of service to self. And I find this very interesting. Both paths are teaching the same lesson, just in different ways. We would call it good and evil. The path to service to others, they say, are spending at least 51% or more of their energy on serving others. And this is what we would call good. And these are the non-humans that are here that are trying to teach us love and respect for one another and uplifting one another and independence and self-empowerment and stuff like that. The service to self path is also teaching the law of one, but they're doing it in a very harsh way that we would call evil, by enslaving people and collectivism. You could even argue like communism is one of these paths, because in a way, communism is teaching that we're all one, because it's this collectivist idea working together. It's just done in a brutalist fashion where we're not given the opportunity and the freedom to become independent beings. We're being forced into this lesson. I would 100% argue that I resonate with the service to others path than the service to self path. But what I do like about this teaching is it sort of takes the fear out of it and the judgment out of it, because these are things I try to avoid. I do believe we are all one, and I try to avoid pointing the finger and accusing other people. Like I said, I don't get angry at these teachers. I think they're teaching us lessons, and it's really up to us to learn the lessons and not to spend our time pointing our finger and getting mad and judging, because by doing that, we're just wasting precious time that we could be learning important lessons about ourselves and how we can be better people.
Yeah, and just like hearing what you're saying and how you're describing your own personal journey, what we've talked about here before is obviously, you know, it's the Matrix kind of analogy as well, the blue pill, the red pill. Like, you've taken the red pill, you know, you've had that rude awakening, and I don't know if you personally went through the, you know, having taken the black pill, where you see the lie everywhere, and it's actually really depressing, and you just think there's no way out. And
where's the blue pill cupboard?
Yeah, can I just take the blue pill again? But like, I would never go back to taking the blue pill. Like, I'm quite happy with the red pill, you know, and I've had my days of the black pill, especially when, yeah, you realize the adrenochrome situation and all that stuff that's coming out with P. Diddy and the whole Hollywood thing and what this planet's really run on. But then, you know, there's the gold pill, which I feel like is what you're describing, is that there is a higher meaning to our existence, and if we can turn that into service to others, that it's that feedback loop of the love frequency, not to be too woo-woo about it, you know, but it is a resonance, and it is something that you can tune into so that you can still see the miracle of life, you can still be grateful for life on this earth, and realize that your own physical manifestation is not the be all and end all, and if you can learn those lessons that you know you're here to learn, that you know you can take it on to the next part of the journey when you leave this world. And I don't want to be recycled again, you know. I feel like this is a prison planet, and yeah, okay, we might be here to learn, but what is beyond the prison planet? I want to check that out. I agree.
Well, that's a topic a lot of people are talking about. And I'm one of them, is the recycling here on Earth. I definitely, you know, I try to remain agnostic in all things. It kind of helps me with my work to not cling to certain beliefs, because that can be kind of blinders and stuff. I like to stay open. But I do definitely lean towards the idea of reincarnation. In my past, I've done some past life regression when I was working on remembering things from my childhood. The person I was working with said sometimes it helps to do past lives first, because you're current life can be very personal and traumatic, so you're just warming up with past lives. Very interesting stuff. There's a lot of people that, you know, and I don't know. Like, maybe it is a prison planet. Maybe we are stuck here by some demon in a trap, and we're like on a farm, and they're just feeding off of us. And maybe maybe these experiences that people have in their near-death experiences, which I can never trust these near-death experiences, because they're not really dead, are they? You know, they're still alive to talk about it. So they were just in some state of unconsciousness. They were still in the matrix. And so I can't really trust these visions that they're having. And a lot of people are saying these visions that they're having are part of the trap. Just, you know, come into the light, suck them back into this trap so they can keep feeding off us. I'm open to this idea. I'm definitely open to this idea. But what I personally lean towards is that there is some truth to that. We are in a brutal feeding frenzy of like a farm where we're being feeded off of for sustenance for these energy creatures. But I do believe that there's a purpose for it, and the purpose is to escape. I think that is the way you graduate, the way you learn the lessons that we're here to learn, is to escape this prison planet and go beyond to where it is. And I think the only way we escape is by learning what we're supposed to learn here and not fall for these traps and get out. And that is certainly something that I hope as well. It's fun on a good day. Fun. Yeah. That's the thing. Like, this place is a prison planet. It is a brutal place. You're talking about adrenochrome and all this stuff. But the truth is, on a good day, this place is fun. You know, I've had some days where I'm just like, wow, I'm so happy to be alive. But I certainly don't think this is the only place. And the other interesting thing about the Law of One book is it even said specifically that we are in a specific, they call it third density. A lot of people call it the third dimension or whatever. But according to this book, the third density is the only one that's like this. And it's specifically made to be brutal and painful and torturous because of these lessons that we're learning. But once we get beyond this, it's different. It's all good, basically. Once we get beyond this, it's really focused more on love and knowledge and helping others. And so a lot of people return to this density as teachers to try to help other people get out of it. But I find that very interesting. It even said that the human body was specifically made fragile and frail and emotionally easily hurt, specifically for that reason, so that we suffer and we feel pain, because they say in order to learn the lessons we need to learn here, we need each other. And so by making the body more fragile and frail, it forces us into social settings and family settings where we're forced to help each other. And that's one really quick, I have to say, that's one of the things I've learned about Russia. Russia has been around for 1,000 years and they've suffered so much. These people are extremely intelligent, emotionally intelligent, intellectually intelligent. And I think the only explanation I have is because they've learned that they need each other. And even though they might, you know, a lot of people say they're sort of in a hard shells. I don't necessarily see that, but I can understand why people say that. What I do sense is I think you can clearly sense that they love each other and that they rely upon each other in a deep way, which is something I think a lot of us Westerners could learn a lot from.
And it does take something special. Yeah, and it does take someone special to actually break that matrix, because divide and conquer has been a tool employed against humanity forever, because it works. And until yes. people realize you've got to stop dividing and standing together, when you've got one person over there who whispers in the ear of this one and says that person's about to take you out. So he's already now guarded against this person for some inexplicable reason, suddenly hates them. They then go to the other one and they say, careful, that one's about to get you. Then all of a sudden, these two are at war for absolutely no reason, but because someone decided to stir it up. And that's what's been happening continuously. And I want to talk about a subject that a lot of people avoid like the plague. I don't, because I'm a free being and I'll say what the hell I want. And this is, the old saying is true. If you want to find out who lords over you, find out those you're not allowed to criticize. You can criticize Freemasons till the cows come home. There's no law against it. You can eviscerate their whole, you can put them online and you can troll them. You can do whatever you bloody like, and no one cares. You can do it with gays and trans, and you can give each other heaps online, and you can just destroy each other.
I don't think you can now, though.
But we're becoming sort of a protected species, but yeah. only in certain contexts to keep the lie going.
Don't tell me you're going to open up a can of worms like 2 minutes before we finish this interview.
Yes. Because I want people to go. I want people to go away and actually think about it. You mentioned the Jesuits in that, which is right. And yes, there are parasitical leeches, not of this world. And there's a certain race of people, class of people, let's call them fleshy people, who claim to be these people. We are their stock. We are their commodities. This is a human grocery store that's bought and sold, put to war to embolden and protect them and feed them. That's all we are to these people. We are ragged, tagged, and bagged. We've all got numbers. It's a stock take. That's what it all is. That's what these numbers are for. The transmissions, jabs, and that, to make sure you can monitor where your bloody cattle are. And if you want, if that cattle's going the wrong way, reprogram them. Transhumanism is where they're going to take us. This is the final great reset. If you do not resist this, you are never coming back again. We've been through the bullshit missing link crap. There's never been a link to find. Humanity comes along, stops. They reset it. You come back again, and then you go. Yep. You won't find an Egyptian alive who knows the history yep. of the pyramids, or anyone who was here from that day. You have an archaeologist over there, and he is the gatekeeper for all the information that comes out. The dude with the bloody cowboy hat type thing. And this is what's been planned all the time. There are checks and balances for everything. So I'm determined to rip the scab off the bloody usurper Jews. And let's call them what they are. These are the ones who claim to be a superior species, and we are all goyim or cattle and all that. This is a fact they've written about. It's in their bloody book. You know, these people say you can have sex with a child as long as they're under three. I mean, what sort of sick crap's that? Why? Because when they're young and they're pure and you can terrorize them before you kill them, you can take the adrenochrome. This stuff is never mentioned. They won't talk about it on TV, but yet people talk about, oh, it's a spiritual war. Yeah, but who are their bloody physical... army, who are the people actually carrying this out? Beings with no form can't do that. They have to influence us to do it for them. Hence, they go to Bohemian Grove and they, you know, pray to Moloch and all that. It's all interconnected, but everyone is kept on one subject matter and they fight over that. Freemasonry is, like when I used to go in there, I said, look, you got all this knowledge. People need to know it. You've run out of time. And I tell people, I'm not here to teach you what you don't already know. I'm here to help you remember what you've forgotten. And unfortunately, some people you just cannot get through. They have to wake up. They have to rise up. And the rise up doesn't mean you don't have to get up there, put your AK-47s on and Rambo their ass. It means you have to raise that frequency and you actually have to get through the barrier that's stopping you. Because a higher frequency will always go through a denser one. That's how it works. And there's a lot of dense pricks walking around, I can tell you now. And Iran. Yeah.
But is it going to be like Brave New World, Greg, do you think? Do you think that, you know, they're going to push, you know, those that want to be in the smart cities and the highly technological world, they're going to stay there, and then people like us, we're going to be in the more naturalized world, and we're going to say no to all of this. Do you think we're actually going to see that manifest?
I think, real quick, I just want to follow up the rising up thing. That goes back to the divide and conquer and unity. The only thing that would ever fix this situation is for us to unify with one another and stand up. And if we were to do that, it wouldn't even be Rambo. It would be It would be such a beautiful thing. We'd be singing songs about it for 1,000 years. That's why divide and conquer is their number one weapon. It works very well, and that's really all they got to do. All they got to do is keep us divided, and they win. Sure. As far as Brave New World, this also goes back to what you were just saying about the missing link. The only thing that explains everything to me, because like I said early in this conversation, I don't know what's going on. I know a lot. I have more questions than answers. The more I study, the less I know. But if I were to guess what's going on, the only thing that makes sense to me is that the secret societies and the non-humans know that there really is a great reset coming. There is a natural cyclical great reset coming, some type of cataclysmic event that has happened in the past, call it a pole shift. You can call it, you know, there's a lot of different researchers on the subject doing it. And it seems like these things happen routinely. It seems like they coincide with this period of human development, like you were just referring to the missing link. It seems to me that it's about to happen again. A lot of people from a lot of different areas of study are actually saying, and I used to roll my eyes at this at first because it seems so silly, but I'm just hearing so many people say it, that there is going to be a split, and there is going to be a new earth, and then there is going to be people recycled into the same old, same old. And those of us that get to go to this new earth, whatever that is, I think it's all very metaphoric and it's hard to kind of wrap your head around it. I would like to think that that would be the graduation out of this realm of brutality and getting into a new area of those who understand the importance of oneness and love and the true idea of Christ consciousness. A lot of the plastic Christians hate that term Christ consciousness because they think it's new age demon stuff. But no, isn't that what Christ is there to teach us, is how to love and stuff? But yeah, I think those, unfortunately, that are deeply asleep and just obeying and blindly going down a road, they're doomed to repeat this grinder again until they get it right. I don't think this earth is going to survive as we know it. I don't know. I do think some type of cataclysm is coming. It's obviously not the end of the world. It could just be, I think there's been several pole shifts in the past and humanity is going on, but it could be something much more profound, like a splitting of the realm. I have no idea, but
it's so fascinating, isn't it? We could talk for hours on the subject, and if you ever want to come back and you just want to carry on this conversation, we would love that, because there's so much to explore.
Yeah, you guys are, we're all on the same page, the three of us. We could talk, I think, for all day.
Maybe the new earth is Russia, right? Maybe we all have to come and join you.
Yeah.
But don't forget, we're going to have to go and have a look beyond that ice shelf.
Yes.
Just saying.
Yes.
Oh, I would love to. That is one of the most interesting things to me is Antarctica. I've just been researching the work of Dr. Michael Sala, and he talks a lot about arcs, like Noah's Ark. But he's saying there's like 9 of them on the planet, and they're all like an advanced giant. There are arcs that these non-humans have for these cataclysmic events to remove enough humans during these tumultuous times so that they can come back and reseed. And I would imagine
the kids they take.
Yes. And I would imagine that it's on these arcs during this cataclysmic time when these genetic leaps happen, you know?
Yep.
We're going to have to get you back for sure. Yep. In the meantime, Greg, we're going to have to say thank you so much for joining us. It's been a really great conversation. So much about conquering darkness, really, exactly what this Truth-a-thon was about. We didn't say what we were going to talk about. We had no idea where we were going to go, but I think there was a lot there for people to chew on.
Sometimes the best way.
Yeah, so thank you so much for your time.
All right. You guys have a great one.
All right.
Cheers, your mate. Money to these guys. They deserve it.
Do that.
And check out Greg's work, of course, info. He's on the band.video. And do you want to give your Substack again?
Yeah, give your Substack, mate.
The best way to find my Substack is just go to reesereport.com, and then there's a link there. Just because that's
neat.
I remember it. So, Reese Report.
Cool.
With an
awesome.
S.
Thanks, Reese. Right. Well, you have a good night, and we'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you guys.
Cheers. See you later.
That's awesome. Well, and coming up after this, of course, we do have Sasha Lachapova
yep.
and Suchalik Bhakti.
Yep. So we're just going to play a wee break, and then we will be
back
right
with them.
Back with you. Thank you for tuning in.
You are watching Counterspin, New Zealand's media revolution, the platform where truth lives and the government and bought and paid for media lies come to die. Find us at counterspinmedia.com. My Dream of Cindy. This teleplay is based on a dream, but one we all wish we never needed to have. Any resemblance of the characters to any person living or dead is purely coincidental.
And now that I have gotten the virtual signalling out of the way, I have a confession to make. My time as New Zealand Prime Minister was a complete bust. I made millions of dollars pushing the Pfizer jabs onto 90% of the useless eaters. I lied and I cheated, but I made it happen. That was because I was granted the honour of being the single source of truth. However, I have a further confession to make. My words weren't the truth, but by Satan, it made me fucking rich. In New Zealand, the real source of truth is Kelvin Alp, Hannah Spearer, and the team at Counterspin Media. If you want to know the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, do not listen to me. Instead, listen to Counterspin Media at counterspinmedia.com. And while you're there, make a huge donation to help relieve me of my guilt. Go to counterspinmedia.com.
Counterspinmedia.com, where lies come to die.
Are you enjoying this 12-hour Truthathon presentation? Do you believe in the importance of Counterspin Media's mission to expose falsehoods and deliver evidence-based factual content? You see, never before in history has it been so important to support a media organisation that is fighting for your freedoms, fighting for your freedom of speech, but also who refuses to be influenced by false narratives. Your donation will help keep them independent, and it's very costly to make such quality content. Please look at their website. There's a number of ways that you can donate, and together we can combat false information. Because you see, at Counterspin is where lies die, but truth prevails.
Keep checking back on counterspinmedia.com and look under the videos tab for more videos from the Conquering Darkness Truthathon.
Counterspinmedia.com, where lies come to die.